Today, I want you to turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. You know, when a loved one passes on, or a relative, or even a distant friend that you may have been close with, a lot of different things, you know, begin to roll through your mind and begin to think sometimes in a different manner than perhaps you might have before that time. And so, as I last 2 weeks visiting my mother, then going up for the funeral and the homegoing service for my mother, I really thought about this thought: where is God when you need him? Where is God at when you really need him? And so I want to try to answer that question very simply today. I'm going to read a lot of scriptures and have you turn to some scriptures, and I just want to you to think about this as I thought about it. Where is God when you really need him? Let's look at Psalm 139, beginning and looking at verse number 7. Psalm 139, beginning in verse 7. Psalmist David says this in verse 7. Whither shall I go from my spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful passage from the psalmist David. Oh, Father, I pray as we would think about this thought of where is God when we really need him. You'll take these simple thoughts that I've jotted down, Father, apply these truths to our life, Father, that we might really understand this, that no matter where we are, Father, that you are there with us. So, Father, I pray that you'll receive honor and glory, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. I'm going to read another passage of Scripture. You don't have to turn there. It's Jeremiah 23. And the verses 23 and verse number 24 of Jeremiah 23, the Bible says this: Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? So we begin to put these two passages of scriptures together. We begin to understand this, that God is omniscient. That means that God knows everything. And God is omnipotent. That means he is all-powerful. And God is omniscient. That means God is everywhere. So when you think about this, that God knows everything, and God is all-powerful, and God is everywhere, it kind of gives us a little bit of idea of where is God when you really need him. And we'll give you that answer to that question in just a few moments. So as we answer that question this evening, notice first of all how God's presence benefits my life. You say, well, Pastor, okay, if God is everywhere and he's all-powerful and he's all-knowing, and how does that benefit my life? Well, notice first of all, when I am lonely, God is my companion. When I am lonely, God is my companion. You know, oftentimes after, a breakup in a family, or a breakup of a fiancé, for whatever reasons they were broken up, or a death in a family, you often think, boy, I wish I would have did this. I wish I would have done that. You think of this as well. And I thought this past week, you know, in my study, boy, you know, I really miss my mother. You know, and I even thought, well, I'm just going to call her cell phone and just leave her a message. And I thought, well, that's stupid. I'm not going to do that. But that's how much I missed her, you know. Not that I wanted to hear her voice again, but she was always there. You know, I just knew she was up there in Harrisburg. She was always there. If I needed her, she was there. But guess what? She's no longer there in Harrisburg. She's now in heaven with our Savior. And so when I began to think about this thought, when I am lonely, God is my companion. And David writes in Psalm 25 and verse 16, turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. I am desolate and afflicted. So as we think about that, the psalmist says, listen, God, I'm lonely, and I need some help here on this earth. And so when I looked at this verse, I did notice something else in verse number 15. Verse 15 says this, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck out my feet out of the net. And then again, verse 16 says, turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. And so as Psalm 25, verse number 15, as a backdrop for verse number 16, we find this out, that we find out that that the psalmist cries out to God, and he says, God, he says, I turned my life to you. I'm turning to you in verse 15. But then in verse 16, we find him kind of just asking God a question. He's asking God, and he said, God, have you turned your eyes onto me? And of course, we know that he has done that. And Hebrews 13 and verse 5, the Bible says, let your conversations be without covetous, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So how can God's presence benefit my life? Well, when I am lonely, God is my companion. Here's the benefit. The benefit that we get when I'm lonely and God is my companion is simply this. God's presence strengthens me. When I understand this and believe that God is everywhere, he's all-powerful, and he knows everything, and I understand that God is with me, promising never to leave nor forsake me, God's presence gives me strength. I like the prophet Isaiah in chapter 41 and verse 10 when he said this, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand of righteousness. God's presence strengthens me. That's the benefit of when I am lonely, God is my companion. But notice something else this evening. When I am worried, God is my confidence. When I am worried, God is my confidence. I like, again, Isaiah in verse 43 and verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall thy flame kindle upon thee. So when we think about this time of when I am worried and God is my confidence, understand this, that our confidence is not in ourselves. My confidence that I needed to think about the service and think about the estate and think about driving back and forth in the snow over the last two weekends, understand this. I didn't have to worry because my confidence was in the Lord. I like what God told Israel in Isaiah 43 and verse 5. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. So in other words, really we find that God is telling the nation of Israel simply this, that God was going to bring them out of captivity. And they had hope for the future because they're called by the name of the Lord and they were created for his glory. It's no different for you and I, that we were as well called by the name of the Lord, and we are created to bring him honor and to bring him glory. And because of that, the benefit is simply this, God's presence assures me. Psalm 16 and verse 8 says this, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth, my flesh also shall rest in hope. Well, how God's presence benefits our life. Thirdly, when I am tempted, God is my protector. I love 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 13. You're familiar with that, so we'll not take time to read that verse. But understand this, with the temptation, God promises to make a way to escape it, that we may be able to bear the temptation and be victorious in and through that. Well, what's the benefit for that? Simply this, God's presence delivers me. I like what Peter wrote in his second book in chapter 2 and verse number 9. He said, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. And that temptation is there could mean either temptations being tempted to sin or temptations as far as trials. And it goes on to say, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. When we think about God's presence, how does it benefit my life? God's presence delivers me from trials and temptations that come into my life. Then notice, fourthly, God's presence benefits my life. When I am discouraged, God is my comforter. Turn to Psalm 34 very quickly. Psalm 34. Let's look at Psalm 34 and verse number 17 and verse number 18. When I am discouraged, God is my comforter. Notice what verse 17 says. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and deliver them out of all their troubles. And notice verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So when we look at this thought, we begin to really understand this, that when I'm discouraged, God is my comforter. The psalmist cries out in verse number 17, bears his heart to the Lord, and he understands this in verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. That word saveth literally means delivered in this context. And a contrite spirit means this, those who are literally beaten out of, that you're just beaten down. Literally, the word translates as dust, beaten down as dust. I mean, you're just beaten down, and you're discouraged, but understand this, that God is your comforter. I read these verses at my mother's homegoing service, John 14, and verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. In other words, let not your heart be discouraged. You believed in God, believed also in me. Thank the Lord for that. Well, what's the benefit for that? When I'm discouraged and God is my comforter, what benefit is? The benefit is God's presence encourages me. Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Well, now that we really saw how God's presence benefits our life, notice quickly, number 2, how do we enjoy his presence? How are we to enjoy his presence? If his presence is always there, how are we to enjoy this presence? Well, I think, first of all, we need to draw nigh unto him in our hearts. James 4:8 says, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. When you look at James 4 and verse number 8, first you see there's an invitation. God is inviting you. James is writing and said, draw nigh to God. But then there's a promise, and he will draw nigh unto you. As I thought about drawing nigh unto God, how do we draw nigh, or how do you and I draw near unto God? Well, I came across something that Spurgeon has written in one of his sermons, and he says this, draw near in worship, praise, and prayer. He says it means to draw near, to ask God for his counsel on the everyday situations in our life. Draw near means to enjoy communicating with God. And we communicate through prayer, and he communicates through us through the written word. And then lastly, we can draw near to God, and it's the general idea of our walk in this life. As we wake up and go through our everyday life, we ought to have a general walk with God, drawing close to him or near him in every day of our life. Well, we draw nigh unto him in our hearts. Understand that there's no place, number 2, that he is not. In Acts chapter 17, verses 27 and 28, we find the Apostle Paul, very famous passage of scriptures, preaching on Mars Hill. You get down to about verse number 23, and he speaks to Paul, points out and speaks about the unknown God. And really the Grecians really are omitting this fact that they don't know the God that Paul's know, and they want to encompass every God so they're not left out. And notice what Paul says in Acts 17, verse 27 and 28. that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. So we need to understand this, that that there is no place that he is not. That's how we enjoy God's presence. And number three, we nurture a developing relationship with him. Psalm 62 and verse 8 says this, trust in him, get these words, at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before God. God is a refuge for us, Selah. And I think as the psalmist is writing here, there's no doubt he's saying God welcomes our heart that's poured out to him. And I think David really is, in writing this, is really making reference to the city of refuge that they had in the Old Testament. There was a number of cities that were set aside that if you killed someone accidentally, that you could run to that city and get in the city gates and stay inside that city and not be persecuted. And there'll be no blood feud against you. The relatives can't go in there and kill you for the accident that took place when you killed someone accidentally. And so I think just as the city of refuge welcomed those that were hunted by the nation of Israel, we find that God is saying to us, God is our refuge, and we ought to run to him and flee to him, nurture a developing relationship with him. Then notice lastly, expect him to meet our needs. In Psalm 46, verse 11, and then verse 1 says this, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You see, as we would think about this thought of expect God to meet our need, he's our Heavenly Father. He loves us. He desires to be a help and a blessing to us. Expect him to meet us in our time of need. Well, the answer to the very beginning question that we ask you as we started out, where is God when you really need him? I have to admit this and say he's right there where he always has been. Right there beside you, right there beside me, promising to never leave nor forsake us. So I think then, us understanding this and knowing this now, we need to focus on how do we enjoy his presence in our life. I pray that if you'll follow these four steps, draw nigh to him in your heart. Understand that there's no place that God is not. If you'll nurture a developing relationship with him, if you expect him to meet your need, understand this, you'll begin to enjoy the presence of God in your life. And you'll never have to ask yourself again this question, where is God when I really need him? Because he's right there, and you're enjoying the presence of him in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful, wonderful verses in Psalms and Jeremiah that speaks, Father, about how you are you're omnipresent, that you're everywhere. And God, even in we go through trials and tribulations and even temptations, Father, we often wonder, where is God when I really need him? Father, help us to understand he's right there where he always was, sitting on the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. Help us, Father, to understand that he promised never to leave nor forsake us. And Father, if we'll just really just understand this thought of and beginning to enjoy the presence of God in our life, we'll be better off for it. So, Lord, I pray you'll be a help to your people tonight. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name we pray. Amen.